Okay. The beginning of this week's parasha, Vayikra El Moshe. Is this going into the? Okay. Vayikra El Moshe. So the Welt says over here, as a medrash really asks, where did Moshe get his karanei hoyd from? Where did he get that shine, that majestic shine that he had? See, it's because at the time the Torah was written, there was a little bit of ink left over. The Medrash says he poured that ink on himself, and through that, he got the shine. It's difficult to understand what Moshe poured the ink on himself. Where was the leftover ink from? So the Welt says over, that how was the ink left over? Because Vayikra El Moshe, he wrote Vayikra with a small aleph. Why did he write with a small aleph? Chazal tell us, is because Vayokar, Vayikra without the aleph, is the terminology used when HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Bilam. So because of Anivus, the humility of Moshe, he wrote it, he wanted to write it without an aleph at all. He had to write the aleph, he wrote a small aleph. And of course that's, to some degree, a Hasidish type of pshat. Moshe took the ink, he smeared it on himself, and he shined from that. That same pshat can be said in a Litvisha even. What's the pshat? Pshat is that Moshe was onov mikol odom. When somebody is a huge onov, very often people don't appreciate him. They step on him. Because of his unevenness, they don't realize his greatness. So, in order to make sure that people respected Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him this karanei hoyd, he gave him this majesty, this shine, that people realized what Moshe was. So why was Moshe zeicher to it? Because of his unevenness. Where do you see Moshe's unevenness? Vayikra El Moshe. He wrote it with a small aleph. So pshat is, because Moshe wrote this small aleph, that is what gave him the shine. It's not pshat that the ink left over. It's the act that he did showing that he was an onov, that's what gave him the shine. There's a kasha I saw, why is it that the aleph is small, dafka over here, Vayikra Hashem El Moshe. It's not the first time you get Vayikra Hashem El Moshe. In Parashas Yisrael, before Matan Torah, you also see Hashem called Moshe there. Why didn't Moshe write over there the small aleph? So the pshat is that Chazal tell us, Marne Dorim, that Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't rest the Shechina only on somebody. There are requirements to get Nevuah. You have to be a Chacham, a Gibor, strong, or Sherich, and an Onav, humble. So we can understand you have to be a Chacham. We can understand you have to be humble. But does HaKadosh Baruch Hu care if a person is strong, if he's rich? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the leader of Klai Yisrael to work out every day? What's the pshat in it? So Rabbi Chaim Volozhin explained that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to rest the Shechina on somebody who's a real onov. Meaning like this. There was somebody once came to a Rebbe, and he tells him, I've got a problem, I'd like you to help me. He says, what's your problem? He says, I feel too much arrogance, too much gaiva. Perhaps you can help me work on it. He says, sure, sit down, I've got a few people here who want to talk to me. Wait here, and afterwards we'll discuss it. So the first person comes in, and he starts asking the Rebbe about his business. He doesn't know what to do, different business decisions. He turns to the man next to him and says, maybe you have any eitzes for him? And the man says, I don't know much about business. I got no. And the Rebbe gives him advice. Next person comes in, problem with the children. He turns to the man next to him. I don't know much about chinuch habonim. No expert on that. Next person comes in, Shon Bayis issues. He asks the man. And different in yonim, one after were coming in. And he would ask the man if he has any advice to give. Didn't. All the people finished. He turns to the man and said, again, why were you here again? He says, I was saying, to help me, I've got this problem with gaiva. Perhaps you can help me. He says, problem with gaiva? Gaiva about what? Panosa, you don't know. Chinuch habonim, what are you arrogant about? What do you have to be arrogant about? There was a wise man once said to somebody, you're not so humble to be so arrogant. You're not so great to act so humble. In other words, you've got to be something great in the first place to act humble. If there's nothing great about you, there's nothing to be humble about. That's who you are. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he rests his Shechina on who? Samdu is a Chacham. He is a Gibor, he is an Asher. There's only one thing the Ribbono Shel Olam cares about, and that is Anivus. But the Anivus, to count as Anivus, you have to be a Chacham, an Asher, and a Gibor. Then your Anivus is worth something. So before Matan Torah, Moshe was a poor man. When it came to business ayom, taking the akris yams of all the loot from the Mitzrayim, he didn't take anything. He was poor Moshe. became by the luchos, that Moshe got the chips of the luchos. It made him very wealthy. So before, when Moshe wasn't wealthy, there's no godless Vayikra el Moshe to act with anivus then. It's now when it's after Matan Torah. Now Moshe's rich. Now Vayikra Moshe writes with a small aleph. Because now it's important to show anivus. He has what to be a balgaiv about, and still is showing that anivus. We say in davening every day, for those of you who are there, this takes place somewhere between 7:40 and 7:49. Just listening, you're there a day, yeah. So we say, Ilu hayonoisen bakotev shel dvash. If you would put a little bit of honey in the keteris, that a person lo yehoyah yochel lamed bnei recha, you couldn't stand up to the smell of it. You'd pass out from the smell. Then it asks, v'loma in marvin ba dvash. Why don't we put dvash into it? So we can understand like this. The Pasuk says, Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ki chol tzor v'chol dvash, l'isaktiru men ish l'Hashem. You're not allowed to put tzor dvash. A person, Chazal tell us, should never say, E efshi b'basar chazir. Ugh, I would hate to eat pork. Ever looked at lobster? Doesn't look that appetizing to me. That's not what you should say. You should say, lobster, I wish I could have a piece of lobster. But what can I do? Hatayra osralai. That should be your attitude. If Chas V'Shalom, you've ever been to the mall, and you have the smell of Cinnabon, the store Cinnabon you went by, it's like a geschmack of smell. So you feel, so again, a person should say, when you smell something geschmack, which you can't eat, I wish I could eat it, but that Atayra osralai. Why? Because the Pasuk says, Batel Ritzoincha Mipnei Ritzoinoi. Mevatel your will to the will of Rabbeinu Shalom. You want it, and you now you're being mevatel your will. You're not going to have it because Rabbeinu Shalom said no. That's godless. So that's the pshat over here as well. That ilu hayonos makotev shel dvash, you put a little bit of honey, you couldn't stand up before the smell. So if I thought to myself, why don't I put honey into the ketores? You know why? I don't want to pass out. No, that would be a reason. If the Torah didn't answer it. But now that the Torah asked it, you know why I don't put the honey into it? Because the Torah says so. I don't not do it because I don't want to pass out. I push away my personal feelings and I do it one reason. The Rabbeinu Shlomo said so. Batel ritzoincha mipnei ritzoinai. Mevatel your will to his will. Which Rav Shimon Schwab in his Sefer adds to that. He points out that is mashma. If the Torah wouldn't answer it, he says, I would put it in. I would pass out. So you'd pass out. It's kedai. A person would be willing, a kohen would be moisa nefesh, to do the avodah, so he'd pass out from it. That's what it sounds like. The only reason he doesn't do it is because the Torah asked it. This yesod we see again at the beginning of the parasha. It says, Adam ki yakriv mikem korban l'Hashem, the second pasuk. And we learn from the word Adam, says Rashi, loma nema. Why did it say Adam? Ma Adam Harishon, just like Adam Harishon, Loi Hikrivi didn't bring min hagezel. Why? Shakoil Hayashaloi, everything was his. You also shouldn't bring a carbon from Gezel. The Rashi contradicts itself. It says, because Adam didn't bring it from Gezel. And then he says, why didn't Adam bring it from Gezel? He couldn't. Everything was his. So just like he didn't, you shouldn't. Adam couldn't bring from Gezel. So what's the Shaykhus to me? How could you learn out from Adam not to bring from Gezel? Hakol hayoshaloi. So in main basis Sheva, Rav Shimon Schwab writes that you see from this, the reason not to bring from Gezel is not because you're taking away from somebody else. Everything in the world belongs to the Ribbono Shloim. La Hashem Aretzim Loya. Kol heichdi iza beigaz rachmanisa. It's a Ribbono Shloim's wherever it is. That's not the problem in bringing a carbon of somebody else. You know what the problem of bringing a carbon of somebody else is? You're not taking something which is yours. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to take something which is yours, you feel an attachment to, and you give that for your carbon. Adam ki yakriv mikem carbon. Something of yours you give. That is what the Rebbeinu Shlom wants. Batel ritzoincha, mevatel your will to his will. Take something you want. There's a pshat also in this week's parasha. The Medrash says that that Moshe was very upset because everybody gave things for the Mishkan and he didn't give anything for the Mishkan. And he was also brochen about it. So the Medrash says, Vayikra Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Moshe to comfort him. So Frank, the brother of the Vilna Gaon, he goof Akasha. So very nice, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comforting. Why didn't he give for the Mishkan? So he says, Pshat is, the reason he didn't give for the Mishkan is, because in order to give for the Mishkan, you had to give, it was Nidvas Lev. Something, what's Nidvas Lev mean? Something which you feel you own, and you give that for Ribbono Shel Olam. Take something of your own. Moshe didn't feel he owned everything. Everything was Ribbono Shel Olam's already. He wasn't able to take something of his to give, so he wasn't able to give for the Mishkan. But this concept of Mevatel Ritzoncha, things that you desire in life, time that you want for yourself, give to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Sleep, you want to sleep at that time, give that for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Get up in time. Come in for those hours, 7:40 to 7:49. Don't hang out in the class, there's a good schmooze there. That's what you're going to give for the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's a beautiful mashal to understand it. There was a person who was on a business trip. And a long time ago, there was no communication back then. And he had with him all his money to do business, cash. He had $1 million in cash with him. And the man got so very sick and is dying. And he has with him a worker, and he knows the worker's going to steal all the money. So he comes up with a plan. He wants his wife to get some money. So he writes out to the worker a shtar. Give my wife whatever you want, and keep the rest for yourself. When I die, all my money, give my wife whatever you want and keep the rest to yourself. The man is delighted, he's so excited. Now he doesn't have to steal the money, he's getting it better. The man dies, he goes back to town, and he goes to the wife and says, listen, you know, it's very sad, your husband died, and he left something for you. I have to decide how much you're getting. So he left, you know, $1 million or so. Here's a few, you know, $5,000 for you. And he felt, you know, very kind of him. He's giving $5,000. It's very nice of him to do that. So she's crying, how could a husband do this? And she goes to Bezdin and tells him the story. Bezdin called him there. He comes into Bezdin. He says, that's a shtar, it's all mine. He shows the shtar to Bezdin. And shtar says, yeah, 100%. To aid him sign is a good shtar. What you have to do is give the wife $1 million and you get $5,000. He says, excuse me? It says the other way around. He says, no, you misunderstood what it said. It says, give my wife whatever you want and take the rest for yourself. What do you want? You want $1 million. Give that to my wife, and the rest you get. And that is what the Ribbono Shel Olam is asking, a Mishnah and Ovis. Asei Ritzoncha, make your will his will. Do what you want for yourself, that is what you have to give the Ribbono Shel Olam. And Lemaisa is a Mefurish Pasuk in this week's parasha. The Pasuk says right after this Pasuk of Mikem, where he said it means, give something you want, the Pasuk says, Im Oyla Karbonoi, Pasuk Gimel, min aboka zocha tomim. Yakriv eno pesach el meid, yakriv oisoi, lirat soi noi lifnei Hashem. The Ksava Kabbalah, which is really a very much a pshat sefer, here's some of the Muchasidish, he says pshat is, yakriv oisoi lirat soi noi lifnei Hashem. Be makriv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu your rotzon. That's the best korban you can give. Be makriv, sacrifice your will and give that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Pasuk, Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Gimel says, V'chol korban minchoscha ba'melach timloch. Put salt on every korban. The Gemara Menachos, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph says, Yochel tevinehu. How much salt should you put? So I would think tevinehu. It's a strange word, tevinehu. It's telling you how much salt to put. Tamaloima timloch. So Rashi explains, Yochel yitein melech harbe. I would think you should put a lot of salt. How much salt? She yitein tam babosom, to give taste. Tivinei was loshna bino, of understanding, of chochma. How much salt? Give it tam, give it geschmack. What's a geschmack? A good svara. Chochma. That's something a lot. So he says, I would think you should put enough to make it geschmack. How do you describe something geschmack? Bino. That's a geschmacker thing. Chochma. Tamaloima timloch, a little bit of salt. So the Gemara wanted to use a language, a mashal of something geschmack. What does it do to give that mashal? It uses a lashon that everybody would understand. What is that? something wise, something smart, something that's a geschmack. Today, if you want to give a mashal of something geschmack, where you want to say it doesn't taste good, how do you say? Failed zaltz. It's missing salt. We use the food to describe, say it's not a good svara, it's missing salt in the svara. They used mashalim back then of chachma to describe something else. We use food for our mashalim to describe chachma. With the exact opposite. What is something we can understand? You want to know something like a geschmack? A geschmack, a steak. That's what we use for our mashal. They use the lashon of, not food. You want to describe food. Who knows what food is? That you have to use chachma to understand food. It's a different generation now, what we call today the MTV generation. No interest in chachma. In the old days, they say that the Ponovitch Rav, after the war, he went to South Africa fundraising. And in South Africa, a lot of the Lithuanians, after they fled there during the war, and he gave Shin a shul, and he saw the goyness of these people. He was so impressed by it. He said to the Rav, how fortunate you are that you have such people to give shurim to. And the Rav said to him, I wish there was a minion of Shemesh Shabbos over here, out of these people. These people sat and they wrote their Shtikl Torah on Shabbos. They understood the Chachma of Torah. They didn't care much about Torah, but the Chachma, they appreciated Chachma. Today you don't get people appreciating Chachma. Today people get geschmack from the internet. That's what geschmack is today. They don't appreciate what Chachma is today. There's a very interesting Meshech Chachma, which I think the Hasidim might have a little difficulty with it. It's a real Litvisha Meshech Chachma. The Pasuk says, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph, the Zorku B'nei Aronis Adom, and it says plural, the Koyanim sprinkle the blood, plural. By the Oilan Shlomim, it writes, the Zorak Esdomoi. It writes singular, that he sprinkles the blood. Why here is it plural, and there it's singular? So Meshech Chachma explains, the Oilan Shlomim, you sprinkle the blood from a keli, you spritz from the keli onto Mizbeach. So it's an avoida, which every kohen wants to do an avoida and get a chelik in the avoida. So different kohenim might do the job. But when it comes to the chatos you sprinkle the blood by dipping your finger into the blood and then you shmira on the mizbeach. Now, after one kohen has put his finger in, that's not nice for another kohen. Another kohen will bother him. He put his finger in already. I don't know where that finger's been. And wear gloves. So therefore, he couldn't say Vizoraku plural. Only one Kohen does all the sprinkling of the blood. It's very different to a Tish over here. Very briefly now, I really can't get through the whole thing, but one of the most important yesodos in life in this week's parasha, half the problems we have in society today would be solved if people listened to this chinuch. Because this problem is a makor for many other problems. The Pasuk says, Parakei Pasuk Aleph. Vim lo yisasi gyodoi l'shtei soirim o l'shnei b'nei yoyna, v'heviyes karbona yashchota asiris o eifa soilis l'chatos. If a person cannot afford to bring the birds for a korban, and then he brings flour for his korban. This is called a korban of dali dalas. This is the third level. There's a level of a behema, which you don't have in other korbanos. Korban oil of yored you have. You have a behema, you have birds, and then you have flour. Says the chinuch over here, if an oni brings a kispo oseiro, if an oni brings a lamb for his korban, is not yotzer. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had rachmonas to say he brings soilus flour. You're potter. It's not right. He should pressure himself more than he can afford. People should take advice from this. Not to spend more money than have. That causes people to steal and other problems in life. People spending more than they can afford. And this is your side in life. Most people, the average Jewish person is middle class. The average middle class person, Jew, who is middle class, is struggling. Why is he struggling? He could lower it. He could lower the level he lives on and not struggle. But everybody, most people are living above their means. So say, yeah, that's a normal way to live. Who decided that's a normal way to live? That we invented that that's the normal way to live. Like I said, I don't have time. Mr. Sherman, you'll be in 11th grade. It's one of my pet peeves. We'll discuss that more. But just to carry just one drop further, just to finish, it's good eye to finish off. The Mishnah Melech asks a bombakash over here. He says, what's the Makor? The Mishnah Nagoyim says, Oni, that brings the Korban Osher, is Yoitza. The Rambam writes it. The Rav says in the Mishnah, the Lechatchila and Oni can bring in a Korban Osher. So the Rav Shimon Schwab, to answer that kash, he says, just very simply, he says, perhaps, pshat is, that this din, that an Oni is allowed to bring a Korban Osher, that's only a regular time, when he goes up one Madrega. This is the only Korban when he's going up from the flower, not to the birds, he's going to the behemoth, jumping up two Madregas. And perhaps that we don't have a Makor for, that you can push yourself, the Torah Drachmonis, and push yourself two Madregas higher. And that's even for a mitzvah. Shabbos.
Happy Shabbos, Sunday 8th.